Well, you should be in Genesis chapter number 39. The Bible says, you don't need to turn there. This is sort of our series verse, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God. That means you're saved. There was a day in your life that you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That means everything in it. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Christian, we are overcomers. I want you to say that with me. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. We are overcomers. Jesus has won the victory and He's given it to every one of us who are saved. To overcome means to conquer. It means to prevail. It means to win the victory. It means to be triumphant. You see, triumphant. You see, in the Lord Jesus, we're overcomers. We're not victims. We are victors. But don't you listen to me. God wants you to win in life. He does. God wants you to win in life. But you're never going to win in life until you learn to win over sin. You'll never learn to win in life until we learn to win over sin. When you come to Genesis 39, you're going to meet a young man by the name of Joseph. I believe he's an Old Testament overcomer. He's a young man with a dream. By the way, everybody ought to have a dream, but it's not just any dream, it's a God-given dream. If I could say to every young adult, every teenager, every young person, but by the way, could I say every middle-aged, every person that may be a further down the road, everybody ought to have a dream from God of what they can be and can do for Him. We ought to have that. God is going to do something special with Joseph's life. But there's going to be some detours on the path. Listen, you'll never have a dream in life. You'll never set out on a journey of living for God without detours. It's just going to happen. We're in a broken world. And on the path to His dream's fulfillment, He's going to be detoured by a pit. You remember His brothers are going to hate Him. They're conspiring against Him because of His dreams. They sell Him into slavery. He's going to wind up where we're going to meet Him today, in a man's house by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar's in the Egyptian secret service, so to speak. He's probably leads a detachment of elite soldiers that care and protect Pharaoh and his family. He's a man of prominence. He's a man of power. He's a man of prestige. He's probably away from home a lot. He's going to give Joseph a special responsibility. Joseph is going to rise up through the ranks to a place of prominence, and he's going to be made steward or overseer of Potiphar's house. Everything that Potiphar has, he's put under the care of Joseph. The Bible said he didn't know anything that he had. He didn't know what was in his bank account. He didn't know what was in his 401k. He didn't know anything. He didn't know how much money his crops were bringing in, how many cattle or camel or donkeys or sheep that he had. All of that he had given to Joseph. Joseph was the overseer of everything in Potiphar's house and everything that he owned. But you're going to find that in that house, he's going to be faced with a test. And I want you to learn a lesson. People and circumstances may shatter or steal your dreams, but they cannot steal your integrity. You see, you're going to find that Joseph was a young man. You remember he had a dream and he had a sheaf. It was a bundle of wheat and his stood upright. The brothers' sheaves bowed before Joseph. It was a prophetic dream of the prominence and the place that he would have, that one day God was going to raise him to a higher place of prominence, and his brothers and his family would bow before him. But I'm going to tell you something about Joseph's life. Like that sheaf, he was a man who stood upright. He was a young man with integrity. Can I say something to the young men and women, all of us in the building today? We need to be people of integrity. Integrity before God. And that integrity is getting ready to be tested. He's going to face the most formidable struggle of his young adult life. It's going to be the day that temptation knocks at his door. And it's going to come in the form of Mrs. Potiphar. Look, if you would, verse number 7 of Genesis 39. If you don't have a Bible, the text verses will be on the screen. The Bible says, and it came to pass, this is after everything that's went on in Joseph's life. There's a passage of time where he maybe started out in the low areas of a slave, just sold into Egypt, but now he's risen to a place of prominence. And it came to pass after these things that this is Joseph, his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." Boy, she was bold, she was overt, and she was demanding. Notice verse 8, "But he refused." Do you know we could give invitation right there and close it up? I mean, right there the Holy Spirit told us how to keep our integrity, told us what to do when temptation knocked, but he refused. Would you say that with me? 1, 2, 3. "But he refused." Isn't that amazing? "And said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not," that means he knoweth not, "what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph, another passage of time. Temptation didn't go away. Spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. He wouldn't be in the same room with her. Verse 11, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. He's doing the work that's necessary and taking care and keeping the books. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I want to talk to us this morning what to do when temptation knocks, or how to overcome sin in our lives. Let's pray. Father, you write in your word that these things, this is what you tell us in 1 John 2:1, these things that you write into us, that we sin not. Lord, you never give us an excuse to sin as your children. We know that even though we're saved and we live in this body of flesh, that there are times that we do sin. But I believe, as I read in your word, Lord, that we may never this side of heaven be sinless, but we can sin less and less and less. And Lord, we're going to learn something today about temptation, and I pray that what you've recorded in your word about Joseph would teach us something about how we should respond and retain our integrity. How that we can be overcomers. How we can win over sin as the children of God. And Lord, if there's someone here today that they've never been saved, or that they would win over sin by trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior and seeing their sins forever forgiven, and I'll thank you for what you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What to do when temptation knocks. If you're going to be an overcomer, if I'm going to be an overcomer, if we're going to win over sin, then there's something that we need to keep in our minds. And it's number one that I learned from Joseph, that temptation, I need to remember number one, that temptation comes to all. You know what that means? That means it doesn't matter if you're saved, you're unsaved. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter how spiritual or unspiritual you are. Everybody is going to face temptation. All of us are going to have our integrity tested. Did you know that? We're going to face temptation in our lives. Look up, if you would, please, in verse number 6. I want you to notice the last phrase. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Let me tell you what that was. That means that he was handsome and good looking. All right? That's just another way of saying it. He was a young man that no doubt by this time he had grown to manhood. He was a handsome fella. He was a good-looking fella. And evidently, it's going to affect a lady by the name of Mrs. Potiphar. We're really not told her name. And it's in verse 7 that the Bible says that temptation came knocking at his door. And it's going to knock at your door. It's going to knock at my door. It may not be the same temptation that Joseph experienced, but it is just as alluring, just as powerful, and just as deadly. Sin always defiles. Sin always leads to death and destruction in our lives spiritually. Let me give you a verse. I want you to jot it down in your notes. It's James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. You see, the reality is that temptation is going to come our way. Listen to what James says. He said, "Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own desires. It may not always be sensual. It may not always be sexual. But they are desires that are in us to be fulfilled in a way other than what God has set the parameters for that desire to be fulfilled." And the Bible says, "and entice." Now I want you to notice something. James did not say, "if you are tempted." He said, "when you are tempted." It is just a fact that you and I are going to face temptation in our lives. Two words that are important in verse number 14 of James chapter 1. It's the two words, "every man." Temptation involves every man, every woman, every teenager, every child. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're a deacon. It doesn't matter if you're a life group leader. It doesn't matter if you are a person that's serving in a different area of our church. Christian, listen to me. Whether you're saved or unsaved this morning, whether you're a sinner or a saint, no one is without temptation in their lives. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this: "Temptation is common to man." It's human. We're going to face it. You remember what John said? He said, he that is born of God, for whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. That means the world and everything in it, and our world, our sinful, broken world, is filled with temptation. It just is. Not one of us are immune. I'm not immune. You're not immune to sin's enticements. Every one of us are susceptible to temptation and sin. It is inevitable. Nobody escapes it. It knocked at Joseph's door as a slave in Egypt. And as long as you're living in this side of heaven, it's going to knock at your door. Somebody said God had only one son without sin, but no sons without temptation. Even the Son of God in this world was tempted. Thank God He was victorious. Amen? And you and I can be victorious. He overcame and we can overcome because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And can I tell you, Joseph wasn't just tempted one time. He was tempted many times. I want you to look over at verse number 10 in our text. The Bible said, "And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day." Do you realize that every day is a day that you and I can face temptation, that it can knock at our door? And friend, listen, you and I need to be prepared in our hearts ahead of time and determine that we're going to win over sin because temptation comes to everybody. Number two, I want you to get this. I want you to recognize that temptation always has a strategy. Temptation always has a strategy. The devil is not haphazardly throwing out temptations or baiting hooks just to see who's going to bite. You know, you talk to some fishermen and they're throwing out, they throw their hook into the water and they have their bait on it, and you say, well, what are you fishing for? They say, anything that'll bite. Well, that's not the devil. No, he's fishing for you. He's specific. He's going to determine and design it that temptation will knock at your door, and he has a strategy. There is a plan behind it. It is your destruction and my destruction. Look again, if you would, verse number 7, and it came to pass. It's more than just the passage of time. As we've mentioned, it's everything that's going on in Joseph's life. You think about it, Joseph has been sold into slavery. He's a young man who is hundreds of miles away from home and family and everything familiar. He is in a strange land. He's around strange people. They're speaking a strange language. He's had to learn that language. But you know what's interesting? Joseph doesn't get angry. He doesn't get bitter. He doesn't do any of those things. He just blooms where he is planted. And he's there, and Satan couldn't get him with trials, and so now he comes after him with temptation. And it's not long till he's risen to this place of prominence. He's matured into manhood. He's a prosperous man. He's a handsome man. He's a powerful man. He's a young man. And Potiphar's wife decides that she wants him. And temptation began to knock. I want you to notice when temptation knocks in our lives. Are you ready? Are you ready? It comes when you least expect it. Temptation came into Joseph's life out of nowhere. It blindsided him. Everything's going good. Joseph is going about his business in the house. He's managing the other servants. He's taking care and keeping and balancing the books. God's blessing his endeavors. I mean, he's really in a place that he can come and go as he pleases. He has such prominence and opportunity in this man's home, Potiphar, who's high up in the Egyptian government. As a matter of fact, Joseph is a man, no doubt, that he has great freedom to come and go about the city and do different things. And so Potiphar, being the head of Pharaoh's bodyguard, is going to spend lots of time away. And Miss Potiphar gets lonely. And Mrs. Potiphar is idle. And one day, she gets lonely, and in her idleness, she looks over at Joseph. And notice what the Bible says. She cast her eyes. Can I help you understand something? I want you to listen to me very careful. Sin many times, in temptation many times, begins with the eyes. She looked, and then she lusted. I hear this many times. Well, women are different from men. They're not attracted the same way we are. Listen, 2024, there's not a whole lot of difference in our sexualized society. Sin can knock on anybody's door. And you just need to be careful who you cast your eyes on. And I need to be careful who I cast my eyes on. Because when we do, if we're not careful, temptation will come knocking at our door. She has a look with a desire, but it's not just a desire to look. It's a desire to obtain. It's a desire to have. She wants Joseph for herself. I mean, he's her slave. She can do anything she wants to do with him. And the desire begins to burn in her heart. And then she's going to make sexual advances toward Joseph. She's going to come and overtly and boldly and persistently and powerfully say, lie with me. I want you to have relationship. I want you to be immoral with me. Now, she didn't say that. But that's what she implied, isn't it? You see, it came in Joseph's life when he least expected. And let me tell you something. Temptation will knock in your life and my life, listen to me, when we least expect it. Number two, I want you to jot this down. Not only when you least expect it, but when you're the most vulnerable. He's alone in the house. But more than that, Joseph was alone away from home. He was her slave and no one would know about it. And hey, it might be fun. Sin always has within it the kernel of pleasure. Doesn't matter the sin. Doesn't matter the temptation. And Satan makes sure that the temptation that knocks at your door when you're the most when you're at the most susceptible place to give in. You know when Satan tempted the Lord Jesus? The Bible said it's after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights alone in the wilderness. And the Bible said he was afterward, after the 40 days. Not during the 40 days and 40 nights. No, it was after it. The Bible said he was in hunger. He could feel the hunger pains inside of him. And verse 3 tells us that is when the tempter came. He didn't show up at the beginning of the 40 days. It was at the end. He waited till he thought that Jesus was at his most vulnerable point. And can I tell you, that's when it's going to come knocking at your door. When Satan sees that we may be at our most vulnerable point. By the way, can I tell you, in times of loss, in times of difficulty, in times of heartache, in times of pain, you be careful who you spend your time with and who you get advice from and who you hang out with. Many a man and many a woman's lost their marriage just because they chose the wrong person to talk with and confide in. Well, my husband won't listen to me. Well, you know what? There's godly people, no doubt, in this church that you can talk to that will listen to you, that you don't have to go out there. Well, she just doesn't understand. Can I tell you, God can put some godly men in your life that can help you through that moment till you can work through that marital difficulty. Maybe a reason why people do things they do, but I want you to listen to me, church. It's never an excuse. Not only did it come when he least expected, not only when he was the most vulnerable, but number 3, it came at the point he was strongest. Joseph was an upright man. He was a man of integrity. His father had trusted him. Remember the coat of many colors? He wasn't the eldest son. He was one of the youngest sons of that family of 12. But it was Joseph that he could put the coat on. And that coat of many colors was more than just a nice, bright sports coat. No, that tunic that he wore symbolized that he was the head of the family, that his dad trusted him with the family business. When he went out to see what his brothers were doing to report back to his dad, he wasn't being a snitch. He was carrying out the duties that his daddy had given him as the overseer of the family business. And his older brothers hated Joseph, not just because he wore the coat, not just because he oversaw the family business, but because of the fact that he was a man of integrity. And here he is in this moment. And he's again in a place of leadership. He's in a place of prominence. And he's a man who has been trusted, and that is the very place that the devil hit him. So you're a man of honesty, Joseph. So you're a man of integrity. Well, let's see what you're really made of. And he sends Mrs. Potiphar. I want you to jot this down in your notes. Will you do this? If you don't write, get anything else, I want you to get this. An unguarded strength is a double weakness. An unguarded strength is a double weakness. I remember more than one time that I've dealt with people in moments of infidelity, and I would have them look at me and they said, you know what, there's many places that I thought I would fall, but never did I think I'd fall right here. This is the one sin that I knew that I would not commit. And it was the very sin that brought their house down. And where you think you're the strongest, if you're not careful, that's where you'll leave yourself unguarded, and that's where you're really the weakest. That's why 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When you think, dear friend, that you're above sin, when you think, dear friend, that you've arrived, when you think that you have it all together, that's when the devil will take you out. There needs to be humility in our lives and a continual dependence, because temptation will knock at the door of our lives when we think we are the least likely to fall, and it will be the door we usually leave unguarded. I want you to notice not only when temptation knocked, but I want you to notice how it knocked. Would you look at me look with me real carefully, very quickly? It was personal. Look at verse number 7. The Bible said his wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, lie with me. She didn't just look at any slave. that would take up her offer. No, it was one slave that she wanted, and temptation came knocking on his door alone. The Bible said, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That word drawn away means to allure out from a place of safety. That word own means one's very own. It was unique to Joseph. It was designed and strategized by Satan and placed in the heart of Mrs. Potiphar to bring down this young man of integrity who lived for God and honored God, and he wanted to destroy him. And friend, listen to me. Satan, as a roaring lion, wants to destroy you and to destroy me. It was a temptation designed just for Joseph at this moment in his life. And Satan knows that like metal is drawn to a magnet, the sinfulness of our hearts is drawn to temptation. Satan's not out there haphazardly throwing out temptations to see who can get to bite. No, it is custom made for each one of us. You know, the Bible says, and enticed. You know that's a fishing term? It's the idea of baiting a hook. Satan puts the kind of bait on the hook of temptation that gets us to bite. And he's a master fisherman. He knows how to vary his approach. He knows how to adapt his plans. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows the bait that we'll bite. And you know what he'll do? He'll fish with the same bait in your life until you stop biting. And then he'll change the bait. He won't quit fishing. It was personal. When temptation comes knocking to our door, I want you to know it's custom made for us. Number two, it's powerful. It's powerful. I bet you Mrs. Potiphar was no slouch. Don't get the idea that here's Joseph, 20-year-old, and she's a much older woman that would have absolutely no attraction to this young... No. Don't you get that in your mind. No, she was probably an extremely attractive woman. She was probably all dutied up. She knew the ways of the world. She knew how to appeal to Joseph. She was the strange woman of Proverbs. She knew what to do to make him want her. One can only imagine the battle that must have raged in that young man's heart and in his mind. I can hear the devil saying, "Go ahead, Joseph. Nobody's going to know. Joseph, listen, daddy's not here, brothers aren't here, nobody knows you, you're in a place of prominence, no, you're not going to tell, and Miss Potiphar's not going to tell, and Mr. Potiphar's long away from home, and it's going to be a while before he's back. Joseph, listen, nobody's ever going to find out. Joseph, it'll be fun, just go ahead and do it." Somebody said this, and I want you to listen carefully. Character is what we would do in a given situation if we knew 100% for sure no one would ever find out. What would you do if you knew 100% for sure no one would ever find out? But can I help you understand something? There's two people that's always going to know what we do. Us and God. Not all temptations are the same. They come in all different kinds of shapes and colors and sizes. Not all of them are sexual. They come in all kinds of different ways. But Satan makes sure that temptations are doused in strong attractant that makes it hard to refuse. And then I want you to know that it was persistent. Miss Potiphar doesn't give up easily. Notice the Bible says she comes to him very boldly, but lie with me. But the Bible says, verse 8, he refused. You know what? She wanted Joseph and she wasn't going to give up till she got him. So she changes her tactics and she amps up the pressure. Look at verse number 10. And it came to pass. That's the passage of time. The temptation didn't go away just because he said no. Oh, it come back. And as she spake to Joseph day by day, I can see her as she comes by all perfumed up, leaving her smell in the room and saying little innuendos and things to Joseph to try to lure him and try to wear him down and try to work him over and try to draw him in. I mean, hey, if just going and grabbing him didn't work, let me just try a little more subtle approach.
By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Ladies, that guy on the job that you think so nice, that listens to you when your husband doesn't, he's not interested in listening to you. He's interested in you. And vice versa. It's not just that he's so much more attentive than your husband is. Or your wife is. No, there's much more diabolical plans than that. And even if he's just a nice guy or she's a nice lady, they're made out of the same flesh that Potiphar's wife's made out of. And you can't trust their flesh, and you can't trust your flesh, and I can't trust my flesh. I know this is tough stuff, but it's good stuff. Satan's relentless. There's a daily barrage. Mrs. Potiphar becomes so inflamed with desire, she's going to grab Joseph by the coat. Now notice, if you would, verse, he won't hearken to her, he won't listen. He won't lie by her. She'd come over here and just lay down and let's just talk a little while, Joseph. Just come over here and sit down and be with me. I'm just so lonely. I just need somebody to talk to. And why don't you just come help me pass the time, Joseph? I'm sure you can take some time away from overseeing Mr. Potiphar's books to come over here and keep company to me. I know you can do that, Joseph. And it came to pass, passage of time. Joseph's in the house. He's doing his business. There's no one in the house. He's just there. Mrs. Potiphar sees her opportunity. She can't stand it anymore. The rebuff is more than she can handle. The refusal is more than she can handle. He's nothing but a common slave. And look at who she is. And she caught him by his garment, his tunic, his robe. Lie with me, is what she says. Satan's relentless. He'll stoop to anything and stop at nothing in his efforts to destroy us. And let me just help us understand something, that Mrs. Potiphar's don't always come in human flesh. Sometimes they come in the form of a cell phone and a computer and an iPad. And if your computer and your phone and your iPad is so locked up that the FBI and the CIA and the Secret Service couldn't get into it, and it's off limits to your wife, sir, you have a problem. I'm not saying that you're doing something wrong. I'm just saying you're setting yourself up for a fall. I have to ask other people what my password is. I have no idea half the time. I'll text my assistant or I'll text one of the staff guys. There's no need to ask my wife because I keep up with her passwords, okay? But my phone, I don't hide it. I leave it laying out. My wife has the password to it. My assistants have the password to it. They can look in my phone anytime they want to look. I'm an open book. And young people, I just want to say something. Your phone's not your phone. Mom and daddy pay for it. It's their phone. And if they decide to look at it, you don't have any right to be upset about it. You ought not have anything to hide. We're getting real uncomfortable this morning. And that means I'm right where I need to be. We're plowing in the right furrow. When we don't answer the soft knocks, the harder knocks are going to come. Let me give you the last thing because you want to know how to overcome it, right? Can I leave us on a high note? Can I do that? Number three, realize that temptation can be overcome. Oh, it's going to come. It's going to come in all... To cheat, to take, to lose our temper. Oh, it comes in all kinds of different ways. To make us angry people. To make us bitter or unforgiving. Whatever it might be. We're just dealing with a particular instance here in a man by the name of Joseph's life. But Satan doesn't care what he uses to destroy your testimony and to bring down our integrity. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter to him. as long as he accomplishes his task. Because when he gets at you, he gets at God. Because you belong to God. You say, well, preacher, if somebody's not saved, they don't belong to God. Why does Satan tempt them? Because they're made in the image of God. And to strike at a human is to strike at God. That's why the value of human life in a womb is so important. Oh, yes, it's a baby. Oh, yes, it's precious. Oh, yes, it's... But ultimately, that little child is made in the image of the God of heaven, and Satan hates God, and Satan hates you. And that's why he wants to destroy life. Realize that temptation can be overcome. There's a verse every Christian ought to know. You ought to memorize this verse, Christian. Write it down in your notes. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Do you know it doesn't matter whether it's a trial or a tragedy or a temptation. God is always faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. You are an overcomer. And God said the temptation that comes into your life is not a temptation that has to overpower you. It's not more or above that ye are able. Here's what he goes on to say. But will with the temptation make a way to escape. Every temptation, in every temptation, is a way of escape. You know what he's saying? I don't have to give in to the temptation. I don't have to go down the pathway of sin. There is an alternate path, and it's the pathway of victory, because we are overcomers. Amen? A preacher, how do I overcome? How do I win over sin? Let me give it to you real quickly. Are you ready? First of all, determined to say no. Determined to say no. Look at verse number 8. She comes and she's bold. She is very overt. She says, lie with me. But the Bible said he refused. You say, how did Joseph handle that temptation when it knocked? He said no. He just refused it. You know what, young people and adults, listen to me this morning. We do not have to say yes to sin. We can say no. Would you say it with me, the word no? 1, 2, 3, no. Would you say that one more time? No, but he refused. It's okay to say no. Somebody asked me, said, preacher, why do you always go to that side? Because I never lean left. When temptation knocks, we don't have to say yes, we can say no. He refused, he cut her off. That's what it means. It's more than just, no, Mrs. Potiphar, no, no. No, it's, ma'am, I'm sorry, but no. He cut her off. And he didn't leave the door cracked. Every time we say yes to temptation, it weakens our ability to say no. Yet, listen to me, young adults and teenagers. Somebody said, well, what's wrong with just a little kiss? Because it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. That's why. What's the matter if we hug a little bit? Because it doesn't stop there. That's why. We say no. But you know the opposite is also true. Every time you and I, when we say yes, it weakens our ability to say no. But when we say no, it strengthens our ability to say no in the future. Did you know that? Joseph was able to say no because he had already said yes to God. Look down at verse number 9. Last phrase. He tells her, he said, listen, there's nobody greater than me. He's not, Mr. Potiphar's not kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He had already said yes to God way back in the land of Canaan as a young man, as a boy, as a teenager. He said yes to God. And you know what? It worked when he got to Egypt. And if you'll determine to say yes to God as a young man and a young lady, it'll be a whole lot easier to say no when you get off to college away from mom and dad or out on the job. Number 2, decide against yourself. I believe everything. You know, Joseph had a flesh. He wasn't made out anything different than you and me. I can tell you that you say, preacher, was that temptation working him over? You bet. And you know what he realized? He realized that there's pleasure in sin only for a season, and eventually the fun will run out. And he realized it was morally wrong. He said, Mr. Potiphar's given me everything, and he's not kept back anything but you, because thou art his wife. Mrs. Potiphar, you are off limits. You belong to someone else. It is morally wrong. And then he said, it's spiritually wrong. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Can I help us understand something today? There's times we sin against other people. There's times that when we sin, it affects larger groups of people. Sometimes one person. Joseph was going to sin against Mr. Potiphar if he sinned with his wife. But you know what he didn't say? That how can I do this great wickedness and sin against Mr. Potiphar? No, he recognized there was someone greater in his life than Mr. Potiphar, and it was God. It didn't matter that daddy couldn't sin. It didn't matter that brothers couldn't sin. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He had said yes to God. It was spiritual. Do you know that sin grieves God at His heart, and that's a love word? God loves us and knows what sin does in our lives. He's not trying to make us miserable. That's why His commandments are not burdensome. They're not grievous. Because, listen, He knows what it'll do to our lives. He knows what it'll do to our families. He knows what it'll do to our dreams. He knows the heinous nature of sin. And it grieves Him. So it reminds me of a young lady, and I'm going to bring the message to a close, I promise. I remember a young lady, the story of a young lady, and she was a young teenage girl, and maybe a in her older years, maybe a senior in high school, and she had kept her purity and her virginity. And her friends there that she played sports with was mocking her and making fun of her. They couldn't believe that she had lived this long and had retained her purity and that she was a virgin. And they said, hey, what's the matter with you? She said, do you not realize that are you afraid that somehow or another that your daddy's going to hurt you? And she said, oh, no, no, no. She said, I'm not afraid that my daddy will hurt me. She said, I'm afraid that if I lose my purity, it's going to hurt my daddy. It wasn't about her, it was about her dad. And can I tell you, it's not about us, it's about hurting our God. Amen. She made one more statement. She said, I can become like you anytime I want to, but you can never become like me again. And young person, once you lose your purity, you never get it back. Stay close to God. Let me give you the last thing. If the other two doesn't work, just ditch your pride and run. How about that? The Bible said he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. He didn't run to the temptation. He ran away from it. Do you know the Bible says flee youthful lust? He didn't say that to young people. Sir, he said that to you and me. David wasn't a young man when he sinned with Bathsheba. He was a man in his 50s. I don't care how far down the road in life we get, fellas, we're never immune to sexual temptation and sin. Sometimes it doesn't get easier, it gets harder. God never tells us to fight it. He tells us to run from it. Flee fornication. Neither give place to the devil, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Somebody said, when you flee temptation, don't leave a forwarding address. The Bible said he fled and got him out, and there's Mrs. Potiphar holding his coat in her hand. I've heard it preached many times, and you've heard it preached. Well, Joseph may have lost his coat, but he kept his character. I say amen to that, don't you? But Matthew Henry, I think, says it better way back in the 16th century. Here's what he said. It is better to lose a good coat than a good conscience. That's powerful, isn't it? You say, well, preacher, you know what it got Joseph when he said no? It wound up in prison. You'd have thought that God would have done better by Joseph for saying no to sin. You'd have thought He would have rewarded him. He did. He did. Well, how? He kept his dream alive. That's how. He kept his dream alive. And when you and I say no to temptation, it keeps our integrity. It keeps our testimony. It keeps our family. It keeps our future. It keeps our dreams. Nobody can really steal your dream but you and me. Preacher, what do I do when temptation? How can I win over sin? Just determine to say no because you've already said yes to God. Decide against yourself. Everything in you may be screaming yes, but you're to put off the old man, put on the new man. You're to say yes to God and no to sin. Decide against what you want and decide for what God wants in your life because it's always better. And number three, if the temptation keeps coming, just ditch your pride and run. Amen? You know what that means? That means some relationships might ought to be cut off. And some friendships might need to be severed. And some jobs might need to be changed. Well, preacher, I can't change my job. Better to lose your job than to lose your family. Just ditch your pride and run. Because there's always a payday. God wants us to win over sin. I know today wasn't a jump up and down hallelujah message. But can I tell you, when you win over sin in your life, it's a jump up and down hallelujah day. Because you retained your integrity. And you kept your dream alive. And you keep your family. And young adult, you keep your future. And young person, you keep your purity. Amen. Amen. And maybe today's message just needs a response of us slipping to the altar and saying, God, today, temptation may not even be knocking at your door, but it may knock tomorrow. And what you might need to do, young person, an adult Christian like me, is just slip down here one more time and just say, God, I want to give all that I am to You. I just want to say yes to You this morning so that when temptation comes knocking at my door, God, that I have the power and the strength to say no because I've already said yes to You.